JC. I was listening to Rod talk about that Buick fluid drive. One of my buddies in high school, I'm from Harlem, used to hang out at Dairy Queen there, coming in on 29. He rolled up in one of the Buicks with a fluid drive one time. It looked like the Queen Mary coming around the Dairy Queen. That thing was huge. I thought when Rod mentioned that fluid drive, I said, I've only seen one in my life, and I remember one of my buddy Randy had. He drove that thing for a couple of years, I think. I think he had a heck of a time getting somebody to work on that rascal. Finally, I don't know, he tore it up, what happened to it, but that's what came in. I've seen one of those fluid drives before. Rode it in and drove it too.
That's about okay. Go ahead, Rod. Things I remember of this old Buick, the knobs to all the controls was, I think they called that brake light back then, but it was white, and it kind of glowed in the dark, you know, at nighttime. I know they had no idea it would do that, but the shifter was on the column, and it was a four-speed pattern on the column if you wanted to do that, you know, forward, backward motion type thing. But you could just, and it had a clutch. If you wanted to use the clutch, you could. If you didn't want to, you just put your foot on the brake. That's it. Was an awesome car. It had suicide doors. I really liked that when I dated it.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'd like it when I was a dating or not there, Rod, but that was a good selling point to the car, I guess.
Awesome guys. What a good time. Great memories. All right, y'all go ahead. W4WOV.
You have to start hanging in there and talking with us a little bit when you feel like it. But you take care over there. Appreciate the comments. Appreciate yours too there, Jerry. Chad, I don't know that we got off in left field over here talking about cars and stuff, but I'm gonna come over and see that Packard. But I got it figured out. You said you didn't know what you were gonna do about getting that into the machine. Before I come over there, I'm gonna ride over to Liberty and pick up Cuz, and he'll tell you how to do it when I get him over there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're right. he's always got a solution when it comes to, you know, my machining problems. He can always get it figured in his head where I sit there and, you know, stammer with it for, you know, a couple of hours or days trying to figure something out. And when he looks at it, it takes him usually about a minute. Well, you know, why don't you do this? And I look at him and I go, why didn't I do that? And, you know, he's never called me dummy, but boy, the looks he gives me sometimes says it all.
I told you what it's all about. Last time we were over there together, he said, you got to kiss it. And I looked at him sort of funny. I said, keep it simple, stupid. And he said, yeah.
Right. I get to overthinking things sometimes and get distracted with it and get frustrated with it and, you know, usually end up causing more problems than it's worth. And one thing that I have learned over the years is with machinists is they are very lazy people. And if you're a machinist out there, I mean no disrespect because I'm one too. Or try to be one, and they keep things simple, and keep things, you know, even the math is pretty simple if you know how to use the book. So I've got a book down in the shop. I think every machinist has got one, and it's called the Machinery Owner's Handbook. I think the first one was written in, might have been 1921, I think. And every year, they publish a new volume. And this one has got, it's, I don't know, it's good 4 inches thick, I guess. Got pages in it like a Bible, real thin, you know. But it's got all the tips and tricks from machinists over the years. And if you want to know how much a, you know, 24 inches of 3/4 inch steel weighs, well, it's in there. If you want to know how to make your own coolant, it's in there. Anything you want to know about a piece of metal, it's in that book. And I enjoy reading it sometimes because there's a lot of useful information in it. But, you know, Chris is like a, his mind is like a walking machinist, machinery handbook. He's, you know, it's all up in his head, and he knows exactly what to do. Usually ends up getting me out of a mess most of the time. But he is on it. I got to watch him because he'll let me know real quick.
LDOS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KO4NUE. Well, you know, that's what we're here for there, Chad, to help each other out every once in a while.
You're exactly right. But I'll give you a holler when I get ready to start this thing. I'll start the machining on it. I got a little bit of cleaning to do. I'll start an inspection on it and make sure it's, you know, I'm not going to run into any complications. I'm a little bit worried about one of the cylinders because older engines, people pull them out of junkyards and they've sat in the junkyard for 30, 40 years in the block full of water and or antifreeze, and they don't realize that actually starts to rust the engine from the inside. So when I stick a boring bar in there to clean the, you know, to make the piston cylinders bigger to get a bigger piston in it, you know, I'm removing material from the inside, and then the water has removed material from the outside, and sometimes you end up getting trouble, you know. You have to end up sleeving it, and that's just a lot of work, but I can do it. I've got pretty good at sleeving one. I usually use liquid nitrogen, and that stuff's pretty neat. I'll go get me, you know, 3 gallons of it at Welder Supply and do the job with it. And when I'm done, I'm usually left with a gallon or so to, you know, play around with. So I'll, you know, usually stick, you know, pieces of grass in there or a flower or, you know, something like that. Tomatoes are real fun. Stick a tomato in there. And it turns as hard as a golf ball. I mean, it freezes it instantly. And it, you know, it's pretty interesting to see how that stuff works because it's cold, you know, really cold.
Have a good idea every now and then, like y'all was talking. But that fellow that was just talking about me, KO4NUE, he is pretty amazing in himself. Comes over to help me in the shop every now and then. I've been working on something for 2 hours. Tell him what's going on with it, and I turn around 2 good times, and he's finished with it. So I ain't the only one.
Pay him to make that remark.
I don't pay him. I think Anna does sometimes. But I don't. I just, he's my cousin, and I love him. You know how that goes. But he won't find a finer fella. Hang on a minute.
ULG, the check's in the mail. Thanks. I'll be back to you, Gary.
Looking for that check, KO4QOG. Thank you.
And truth there, Chad. I ain't gonna say no more.
thinking I'm a good fella. Now I figured out it's, you know, all about a check. So, oh, well, that's okay. It is what it is. I can take it. But it took three of us, but we finally drew him out, didn't we, Gary?
Couldn't ask for a better one.
Listen, I appreciate the QSO, and I appreciate you talking with me. But when I get ready to get it started, I'll get everything up and, you know, ready. I'll let you know, but this guy has requested, you know, to have it put up on YouTube because he's up in another state. I get them from all over the place, all over the world, actually. But he's wanting it on YouTube so he can watch it. He's a member of a Packard club, and I think all the club members want to, you know, watch it being built up on YouTube. So I ordered me a tripod for my camera today, and getting things ready to start up. So it'll take me a week or so to get it done, but I'm kind of looking forward to it, I guess. But when you do, you know, you do the same thing every day, it gets kind of, you know, oh man, here we go again, you know, eight more cylinders, you know. It just never ends. There's always something to do on them. But anyway, appreciate the QSO, Gary. Appreciate you talking with me too, Chris. And I'll take it back to you. It's KL4NUE, back to you, sir.
Yeah, well, I'll be looking forward to the phone call, and I'll come over and look at that Packard. And I will ask you to do one thing for me. That's put that liquid nitrogen away somewhere. I don't want you pouring that stuff on me anywhere.
I wouldn't do that. I might accidentally spill it, but I wouldn't pour it on you.
That's what I was afraid of. Okay, buddy, you take care. Tell Miss Anna we said hello, and thanks for her coming in there and making a comment as well. Appreciate Chris coming in, and Jerry, and Rod, and that was a good round table we had going there on the rag shoot list tonight. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Back to your list tonight is KM4BLH, Mr. Kurt over there in Greenville. Kurt, what have you been up to today, young man?
KI4DOS, KM4BLH. Been studying for the extra class test. I'm going to come up there Saturday and take the test. And I just let you know that I don't know if you were there in 2014, 2015 when I tested. I'm visually impaired. And I had to go to the other room and had to have the three VEs in there and one read it to me, do my score sheet and all that. And I don't think they knew I was showing up the last time that I showed up there, but I just kind of wanted to give you a little heads up there, Gary. Over.
I remember you, come to think about it. It's been a long time, but come on over. We'll take care of you, and you're not going to just take the test. You're going to pass it, right?
Hey, Roger, on that. I feel like I'm ready for it, no doubt. Yeah, that was 2014 when I took the technician, and it was 2015 when I did the general. So, yeah, I've been studying, so I feel like I'm ready. So we're going to give her a shot. Back to you, Gary.
Well, that sounds real good there, young man. I'll notify Steve and let him know, you know, our team leader, and make sure everybody knows that you're gonna be there in case we need a little extra help. But we'll take care of you when you get there, no doubt. But look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Roger, Roger. Well, that's all I got, we'll be looking forward to seeing you on Saturday too, I have no further comments for the net. KM4BLH, back to you, KI4DOS.
Well, come back in here and talk with us anytime. Don't be afraid of that microphone; it won't bite you. That's what a lot of folks. Well, I had it when I first started. I had mic fright. I'll be honest and won't tell no story about it. But don't be afraid of that microphone. Just when, pick it up, it won't bite you, and that's what it's made for, talk on. But look forward to seeing you on Saturday. You get you some rest, and hopefully we'll have everything set up, and everything will go real smooth. And when you come out of there, you'll be a stroke AE. But you take care, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. We'll go up to my DX contact tonight, KB0KBJ, Mr. Steve up there in Clear Lake, South Dakota. Steve, I know you've been up to something. What you been up to?
Yeah, I've been digging around. Good evening, Gary. And all KB0KBJ. I've been digging around in my closet and seeing what's in these boxes. And found some CBs, and so I was just listening there about that interesting engine and all the other fella was talking about. So while I was doing that, while he was talking about that, I was monkeying around seeing if there was one CB work there, Gary. Over.
About that Jesu 101, you talked on with a CB, are you?
Say that again?
Jesu, I believe it was Jesu. 101, FT-101 ZD or something like that. There's a lot of CBers grabbed a hold of those and talked on those ham radios on CB band.
No, I haven't got one of them. I got some of a SICOM 7000. I can do that on if I want to. Or any of the other radios I care to open up. But no, this is an FCC one. It's 4 watts Cobra 20 plus, just a simple plain Jane one.
Damn, by way back in my young truck driving days, I probably had 4 or 5 of those. Old truck I drive used to drive. It beat them to death. You know, they shook and vibrated and bounced so bad. We didn't have air ride seats. We had spring seats and. Didn't have airbags under it. We had springs and all of that stuff under the suspension. So these trucks I drove when I first started driving were, as my father-in-law told his son, he said that's when they were wooden trucks and iron men. Had a great big old 2-foot steering wheel. It took all the power you could muster to steer it because it didn't have power steering.
Yep, yeah, I hear you there, Gary. Girls are coming in into the shack here, saying goodnight as they're heading for bed. But, good night.
Well, what did you say else?
I'm talking to a fellow on the radio. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I know I took a ride with my cousin. I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. Took a ride with my cousin down to deliver some grain. I think I did, but he mentioned about that how I was like, boy, this thing isn't so bad. It had, you know, air ride seats and air ride cab and, I don't know, frame probably. He said, yeah, he said, my dad said he had to kind of just sit up off the back of the seat because the back of the seat would just beat you to death, you know, so you just sat straight up.
Tell all those pretty little ladies, all your daughters, I said good night, and it sure was good seeing all of those young ladies. Tell you what, they're some pretty young gals. But yeah, those old trucks, they'd beat you to death, but they'd also tear a CB up in a heartbeat. You know, we didn't have we weren't assigned a truck, so we drove a different truck every time we went out, and you had to make you a go box. We didn't call them that back then, but that's what it was. You had the radio and the power supply, or not necessarily a power supply, but you might have a radio and a speaker and all your other stuff that you carried with you, a few tools and a couple pair of gloves and stuff like that. But that was our go box, you know, and you had to have that to go between the trucks. And no vice grips, Bantana mount, and you clamp them onto the mirror bracket, and the mirror brackets get mashed so bad that the vice grips wouldn't work on the driver's side, so you'd have to start putting it on the passenger side. So all kinds of weird stuff like that. But I find in my closet if I started digging around in it, Steve.
Yeah, you might have some classics in there. 23 channel. You know, I seen this modification that this guy made. And you can put it on a 23 channel CB even. I think it's done out of Texas. Boy, I'd have to do some research. I don't know if it's more than one guy. It might be a shop. But you can take your old CB, essentially, and have the display replaced. And basically the internals replaced. And this thing will do all 40 channels. It'll even act as a tuner for HF. You know, listen, not receive, or not transmit, but makes it really fancy in an old looking package, you know. And I don't know what all it does. It does a lot. It's kind of wasn't terribly expensive. I mean, considering all it did. So it's kind of interesting that you could, you know, just turn your old-looking CB into a really fancy... It was a digital, obviously. It wasn't a dial, but it looked kind of cool. Yeah, I think I've got a few around here. I got one of the telephone. Did I ever tell you about my telephone CB? You ever seen that style?
Yeah, I had one of those. It was a Johnson.
Yeah, I got one Johnson, too. I think it's a 40-watt base unit. It is. It plugs in the wall. But then I also got a mobile unit, and I was using that when I left home, and I moved out. When I left the house, I said, I'm out of here, and I'm not just going just down the road to get an apartment. I'm going all the way to the end of the country because I graduated from around here, right? In South Dakota, West Coast, here we come, Washington State. So, put my CB on the seat and headed down the road. And I was going somewhere along in Montana or Idaho or somewhere. And it was slick, and I had my little 84 Ford LTD intermediate model, 3.8 liter. You had to do a just stand on the brakes, and the thing would just do, no power, you know. And, so I was going on down the road, and it was night, and then it was icier than I realized, so I was just sailing along, come down this long grade, and turning to the right, and I seen it up ahead, I seen two semis. I think there was, I know there was one on the right-hand side, I'm not sure if there was one on the left-hand side or not. And they were parked on the shoulders, I think it was just on the right side. So anyhow... Start braking, realize you're slipping, sliding down the hill. So I was slowing down. All of a sudden, this dude jumps out of this median, waving his arms, just jumps out right in front of me. So then I really start slipping and sliding, try to stop. I got her stopped. He come running up. I glance over. There's a car in the median upside down in the snow. The semi behind me, the flatbed, he hit the median. And flatbed, flat-nosed, yeah, he hit the median, just his trailer swung across the interstate like a gate. Whoom, closed it off. Then you should have heard the CB light up. But anyhow, this dude hops out from the, I stop, and he comes running up. He's like, call the cops! And I was like, right, here's the CB. I just had it sitting on the seat, so I handed it to him with that telephone arrangement, you know? And he looked at it, he's like, you do it! So I went to Channel 9 and I gave a few shouts out and gave a mile marker. Sure enough, I heard a siren go wailing away down in the valley, and I went but a few minutes and they were there at the ambulance and all. And of course, like I said, the interstate was blocked, and I was like, all right, time to get going. And since there's nobody going to be coming up behind me for a long time, I think this is actually good driving conditions for me now.
I tell you, even those came in handy back then. I guess they still come in handy today, but I ain't gonna get into that. But they did make some good things happen and help people out in bad situations long time ago, Steve.
Yeah, I know. It's of course we're not on the road as much anymore, but anyhow. I mean, you're aware of backups and such. I used it recently on the trip coming down there, and it came in useful. Mostly it's guys just when they get in the city, that's when you hear it. They're just cussing the traffic. Once in a while, you do hear something actually useful. Yeah, that was back in 93, so that wasn't too long ago, but that was probably near the end of the most of the CBUs. Well, not quite near the end. I mean, but cell phones were starting to come in, you know, after that. Or shortly after, in a bigger way. But, yeah, so that's what's going on. The weather-wise, what's it? Dry. We got zip over snow on the ground to speak of. Cold, 4 below tonight. Supposed to be up near 40s again this weekend, I guess. It's kind of been yo-yo-y. We're really lacking on the moisture. So if we don't get some good spring rain, it's not going to look good. I did go out 2 weekends ago to the Black Hills. Not last weekend, the weekend before. Left Thursday, came back Sunday. So basically, day each way travel. And 2 days out there. Hit the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo thing going on. That's the second largest event in the state. Sturgis Bike Rally is the first. That's also out there. So I decided to go check it out. It was like, okay. I kind of got the idea. I think I'll just go hike around in the hills. There's no snow. Zippo. Well, okay. Maybe the slightest amount up there, 6,000 feet up, enough to leave tracks in, you know. But it was beautiful. 50s at the time. 40s, 50s. So really nice. No snow. Went hiking out in the woods and the mountains and up and down rocks and, you know, it was a good time. We went through the Badlands. They don't have anyone manning the toll booths. It cost like $30 to go through this loop of 30 miles. You know, it's like $1 a mile. Like, I don't pay that, you know. There's more places that are Badlands that I don't have to pay that, so. But they aren't manning the toll booths. I'm just like, my tax money at work. I'm zipping through. So I went and did a free tour. And, stopped a wall drug, got my free ice water, my free bumper sticker, my 5 cent cup of coffee. You know the story behind that one? Have you heard about that there, Gary? KB0KBJ.
For DOS and Blue Ridge 2 meter net, KB0KBJ. I hadn't heard about that, Steve. But that trip over to the Black Hills, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. Of course, 50 degrees up there. At this time of year is short sleeve weather for you. Matter of fact, it's 51 degrees here right now tonight, here at the house. So it's, it'll get a little lower than that, but it won't get down there at 4 below.
Yeah, it's been yo-yo-y here. Over there, it's consistently warmer. When we left here Thursday morning, it was 15 below. Got out there Thursday afternoon, it was sitting around 20. Next day, it was up in the 40s. And I don't think it dropped below freezing the next night. Up in the 50s the next day. And again, near freezing at night. And so, you know, it's a nice break from 15 below and 10 for a high, you know. That's why you go out there. That's also why they don't got snow either. But I'll tell you, man, is it dead this time of year? It is so dead. Keystone just hopping. I mean, it takes 2,500 people to run the town of Keystone when it's peak tourist season. There's about 200 or 300 living there now. One motel open, one gas station, I don't think there was a gas station. Yeah, there was one. One gas station, one restaurant. one tourist shop on the main strip of everything that's there. There was one tourist shop. Stopped in the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The guy says, "Oh my goodness, glad to see you. First customer all day." I was like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, it's so slow. It's my second year trying to stay open all year, but boy, it's slow." So I was thinking of closing. I'm like, "You mean for the day?" He's like, "No, for the season. Like for 2 months, I'm going to shut the doors." Yeah, it's just dead though up there in the wintertime, I'll tell you. But there's free things too, you know, like the cosmos. You know where gravity, it's weird there. You got to check that place out. We had to go up there, they're closed. I'm like, there's nobody around. It's an outdoor thing. I just hopped the fence and go take my own tour. So I did. No signs saying I can't. Yeah. Yeah, free tours. But the off-peak season might have snow on the ground. Anyhow, Wall Drug. That's an interesting story. Wall is a small town about an hour or so away from Rapid City in the Black Hills. And back in the 30s, there was a guy from Iowa who seen a sign, it's an advertisement, drugstore in Wall, South Dakota. He'll buy it, he buys it, he moves up there, and it's just dead, nothing happening. And he's sitting there one hot summer day, just laying in bed, and he hears the Model T's chugging along down the road, or Model A's, or whatever model they were going pretty slow, and he's like, "Man, those people, there must be hot out there." And he's like, "Hey," all of a sudden brainstorm, he's like, "I know how to get them folks in, give it a shot." He told his wife, they made up signs, "Free ice water." They went and posted them on the road. By the time he got done posting them, I better let it break here. And by the time he got done posting them, people were just piling into his drugstore to grab their free cup of ice water because they were so thirsty out there. And of course, you know, he bought other stuff. And now the place has grown to a full city block. It's, you know, free bumper stickers. So that's the story behind it. And they still got a drugstore there. You walk in, you know, like, "Oh, look, there actually is a drugstore among a humongous pile of other touristy things, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, most of it's trinkets and whatnot." So anyhow, we stopped there and got our cup of coffee and free ice water there, over.
Well, I tell you, that was pretty good thinking to get people in there. But I didn't know this time of year was the tourist season up there. Of course, I don't know why I didn't think that, but I would think more in the summertime would be the big tourist season up there.
No, I'm being sarcastic. There's nobody. But it's good for you if you don't want crowds and lines. And I don't think I've ever really seen too much of that, but there certainly isn't none now. It's you know, free parking, and you know, you got parking at state parks, no problem. You're pretty much by yourself, so it's actually a good, nice time to go. Especially now, we ain't got no snow. You can walk around all over and go hiking like we did and all that, you know.
It'd be fun. I think I would enjoy that.
Yeah, I stopped in Hill City. If you ever go out to Black Hills, the tendency is to want to stay in Rapid City because that's where the big town is and all, understandably. But if you're not tied down and you don't need to hit up stores and all the fancy restaurants and Raging Cajuns and Longhorns and Texas Roadhouses, and you just want to camp out and stay in the woods and just kind of do that thing, Hill City is the place to be. It's right in the middle of the hills. It's a small town. But they got enough restaurants there, you know, and motels, I should say, to serve you. But it's right in the hills. You're not drive too far for everything. Otherwise, you're driving from Rapid City, you're going to take an hour, well, not quite an hour, but over a half hour just to get into the hills and start seeing stuff, you know. Because if you're up in Hill City, you're already there, so you just drive either way, north or south, you know, from there to see stuff. South of there, you got Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse Monument, Custer. North of there, you got Lee, Deadwood, and the Sturgis and that kind of thing. So we stopped there, and we stopped at a gas station, ordered some subs, We're eating them. This guy was talking on the phone, talking to people. He looked like he was a businessman sitting at another booth. And then he stopped. And I don't know. I couldn't help but overhear what he was saying. Because he was talking kind of loud, and then he stopped after he got all his phone calls and talking to other people down and started talking to me. Now, he was like the local land baron, business baron of the town, and it's kind of funny because I'm a stranger. He knows I'm not going to say nothing because I don't know anybody in town. He can tell, you know, he knows everybody in town. So he starts bragging on all his stuff. I bought the 20 lots he owns here in Elk Ranch he owns over here. And I'm like, you kind of like no business, Baron. He's like, but it was interesting. He said he had been there, his family had been there since 1873. And General George Custer, you know, Custer Last Stand, he had come through in 1874 or so. When Custer came through and said there's gold there, that's when the rush for the Black Hills started. So this guy's family had been there even before Custer came through. So you meet all kinds of interesting folk there, you know.
You know, Steve, that would be real interesting, especially if they know anything about their family history. I could probably sit there and listen to them talk all day long and learn quite a few things. But, I don't think there's an area like that around here.
No, not exactly, but there's still those kind of characters. Got to get out in the sticks and sit down and keep your ears open, you know. Oh. Yeah, well, that's kind of how it's been here, Gary. Just living life, and it's been going good. So you say hi to Joy there, and we'll chat at you again some other time. KI4DOS in the net, KB0KBJ.
There are people that'll sit and tell you tales and stuff like that, and stuff about their families and their history and that sort of stuff around here. But to get out into a place to where, you know, the people's family's been there since way before Custer or something like that, I don't think you run into much of that around here. You might run into a little bit of it, but you'd have to look for it. But anyway, I will relay your message to Joy. Tell Miss Megan and the girls we said hello and hope y'all continue to do well. Good talking with you, as always. Look forward to doing it again sometime soon. Anytime you can, jump in here on Echo Link, and we'll chit-chat some more. But y'all take care up there, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Is anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. That's about going to wrap it up this evening. Appreciate all the folks that stayed in and ragged you. Had a real good net tonight. Appreciate all the folks that checked in with us. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Give Mr. Matt, WG4MC, a good dose of rider's cramp. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll finish closing her out. Folks, grand total of 64 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. If it wasn't for you folks, we wouldn't have a net. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Give Mr. Matt a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.